Thoughts and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
It's poised for the attack, but my bare hands paved their path. You don't get to tell me about sad. If you wanted me dead, you should have just said. Nothing makes me feel more alive. So I leap from the gallows and I levitate down your street. Crash the party like a record scratch as I scream. Who's afraid of little old me? You should be.
Good evening and welcome to the third show of Shasta Unmasked. This is Jessica French. Ashley, are you there? Ashley? Are you there?
Oh, I am.
There you are. Okay. We had a little bit of a glitch there. We're taking a close look at how extremism is affecting Shasta County and discussing how to combat it. We are live from the KCNR studio in downtown Reading. The recorded show will be available on the KCNR website directly afterwards, and the podcast will be available as well on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. We will be accepting calls during the show tonight, so please go ahead and get into queue. The phone number is 530-605-4566. Tonight, we're joined by a very special guest, past Shasta County CEO, Mary Williams. Hello, Mary.
Hi, thanks for having me.
We will get started in just a few minutes, but first, I want to give a quick shout-out to Shasta Scout for compiling the public meetings for the week, each and every week. If you sign up for Shasta Scout's email, you will get them delivered to your box weekly. First, starting 30 minutes ago, we have a nighttime Shasta County Board of Supervisors meeting. Also tonight, starting in just a few minutes ago now, is the Reading City Council meeting and Anderson Union High School District Board meeting. All three of those meetings are live streamed online and recorded, so you can go back and watch them, and please do. All right. So let's get started. Welcome again, Mary.
Thank you.
So why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got involved and when you got involved with the county, and whatever you'd like to share.
Sure. Well, I've lived in this area my entire life, aside from when I went away to college, and I'm very invested here, and I have two sons, a two-year-old and a two-month-old that are home with Dad, so hi. Mm-hmm. But I have worked in local government my entire career so far. I have a master's degree in public administration, and I spent the last 7.5 years working for the County of Shasta. I worked my way up through a number of positions to the deputy CEO position, and then last year the Board of Supervisors was recruiting for their new CEO.
Right.
So I was asked to kind of hold down the position as acting CEO while they did that recruitment, and my contract was negotiated so that I would be able to just return to my previous position, which was my original plan. But I ended up moving on from the county last year.
Okay. Well, thanks for that information. Let's just get right into it. We're here for a big interview. We're very grateful for you coming to talk with us about extremism, how it's affected the county, in your opinion, and what you think that people need to know about that information and what we can do to make things better here in our county. So let's just go ahead and begin. Can you elaborate on your experiences with extremism within the county? I know it's a broad question, but where would you like to start?
Well, where I would start is I would just lay a little bit of groundwork that I would want people to understand the role of a staff person working for an elected board. And that role is really to provide the board with the best information possible so that they can make really sound and informed decisions. And then ultimately it's to implement the policy or the financial decision that that board makes. And I counted today, and during my time with the county, I worked for 12 different supervisors. And
wow.
Each one of those supervisors obviously had different priorities, different projects that were of interest to them, and different political leanings. And I feel like I was pretty successfully able to work with each one of them and able to, you know, implement their directives up until the end of my time with the county. And then things really changed. And so
When do you think things changed? Do you have an approximate timeline?
Probably the last 2 years.
Okay.
When we got a really strong new majority on the Board of Supervisors.
Mm-hmm.
Things took a really different direction, and some of the things that I started to see that were concerning to me would be making decisions without any real regard for facts or expertise, especially if the facts didn't really reinforce a specific viewpoint that the board had.
Can you give us an example of that?
Yes. Yes. And the other thing I will say, and then I'll give a really good example that I have, is decision-making with a disregard for the law. Pushing staff to compromise on legal and ethical boundaries.
Mm.
So both of those two things. And the example that I would give that probably everyone's familiar with, but I'll share some personal insight, was the decision to terminate the Dominion Voting Machines contract.
Right.
And go to a hand count system. So obviously when that decision was made, my job as acting CEO was to work to implement that direction and ensure that laws were met and that our community's needs were met. Here are some ways that that kind of all went out the window. If you look at when the item was agendized for discussion at the Board of Supervisors, there was no indication provided to the public on that agenda that the contract would be considered for termination.
Right.
So people who might be concerned about that weren't provided an opportunity to come voice their concerns. Staff asked them when we heard that the contract was going to be terminated, we asked them for more time so we could get a plan in place of how we were going to count votes without the systems that count the votes. We did not get that extra time that we needed. A decision was made without a plan in place or any research done on how much this would cost or what other systems were available to us.
And it definitely wasn't made to the public if there was individual research, because I remember at that time some of the board of supervisors were saying that they had researched A, B, C, D, E, F, G, but they're supposed to be representing us, so how are we supposed to give them our input if they're not sharing that knowledge that they've gained?
Yeah, and I can also share that as staff, we tried to really involve the supervisors in our process along the way so that it wouldn't be, you know, so much of a – so that it would be collaborative and we could make some of these decisions together. And at a lot of those meetings that we tried to have with multiple supervisors to tell them what we were working on and to ask for their feedback – the participation we got from them was really poor.
Mm.
They wouldn't show up to the meetings. They wouldn't participate in the meetings. At one meeting, they took our agenda of things that we needed to ask them at that meeting and set it aside and surprised us with multiple guests. We got a presentation on hand counting from someone at one of those meetings that wasted our time, basically, because it wasn't something that we could use that would meet California law. And there was also the fact that they were flirting with multiple lawsuits about not meeting California law with their new plans.
Mm.
Disability rights advocates came to multiple meetings and reminded the board that you actually have to provide some mechanism for people with disabilities to be able to vote that's both independent and confidential. So you can't have somebody stand over their shoulder and mark it with a pencil for them. You have to have a machine. After all of this was done without much transparency to the public, we placed an item on the board agenda to present cost estimates, which should have been done in advance. I was reprimanded by multiple members of the Board of Supervisors for placing that item on the board agenda. And so,
because why? What was the reason?
Because they didn't agree with the financial numbers that staff had researched put together, and they didn't want that presented out to the community.
Mm.
Yeah. So those are some examples of you know, just making decisions without allowing staff to put a plan in place, without data, without facts, and really pushing staff to compromise on legal and ethical boundaries.
Right. That's a lot,
that's
Mary.
A lot.
That's a lot.
Thank you for sharing that with us. Believe it or not, we do have to go to a commercial already. I told you this was going to go by way fast. So we're going to go ahead and go to commercial, and when we come back, we're going to hear some more examples from Mary, and we're also going to hear about how extremist viewpoints among the board members have impacted the overall functioning of our government. We'll be right back.
So nothing will keep us here. Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history. It is with great honor and pride that we have been able to support several amazing local businesses like these over the years.
Thanks to the Redding Rancheria for their support of the Kiwanis Basket Dam Club Food for Kids program. We send 185 bags of food home every Friday. They're instrumental in helping us.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
Good morning, Redding. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Thank you, Redding Rancheria, for supporting Tree of Life International Charter School. Gracias por todo su apoyo.
Thank you, Redding Rancheria!
The Shasta Lake Chamber of Commerce wants to thank the Redding Rancheria. They have sponsored our Friday night in the park for more than 18 years, and we really appreciate it.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
About the tears and children's eyes, and I wonder about the soldier that dies.
Hello, we are back. We are going to cut our music a little short because we have so much information to give you, and we don't want to waste any time. So just so you're aware, we will be accepting calls tonight, so please go ahead and call in 530-605-4566. If you have any questions for Mary, go ahead and get in queue. And let's just pick right back up where we left off, which our next question is, how have extremist viewpoints among the board members of the Shasta County Board of Supervisors impacted the overall functioning of our government?
Yeah, well, the thing that was most frustrating to me and probably is frustrating to a lot of staff that are still there is that tax dollars and our staff time are really not being spent on things that are going to move the needle on actual issues in our community. Local government is really unique from state and federal government in that it's really designed to address issues that the community brings forward, really practical things. And we're talking things like our roads, our schools, things like that. In Shasta County, we know we have some real needs. Our ACE scores are high. We need more jail space. We need to address jail staffing. All of these things are real things that we can work towards, but time and money is being wasted on other things. For example, I don't know if the average person knows, but 2 years ago, we had an entire multidisciplinary team in place to start working on the jail issues, the building a new jail or whatever path that was going to take. We had plans to fund the project, design plans, public relations strategies, all these things in place. And at this point, we could be 2 years down that road on a real issue in our community. But what happened is so many key staff on that project were essentially pushed out of the organization. The ones that remain, many of them are tied up with projects of the board that aren't, really fixing things in our community. And I will also point out that the board spent over $20,000 on a series of public workshops to act like they wanted to get community feedback on the jail project, but they ended up having staff bring back the jail project for a vote before the results of that community workshop series were even compiled and delivered into their hands.
Wow.
Yeah.
That says a lot. And now tonight, they're having another presentation about the jail.
Yep.
Can we not just move on and build the jail?
Right. Let's make some progress on some of these issues.
So I would like to ask, what challenges have you faced as a CEO in navigating all of these extremist dynamics?
Good question.
Yeah, well, when I was acting CEO, one of the biggest issues was recruitment and retention. It's really hard to recruit people to come work somewhere where the bosses have a reputation of, running people off, I will just say.
Yeah.
It's hard to get qualified applicants, and when this board has gotten qualified applicants, quite frankly, they've passed on some of them because they want to get somebody else that aligns better with their viewpoints into those positions.
And how frustrating has that been?
That's so frustrating. When we try to fill those positions, we get somebody that is qualified and wants to come to our community or is in our community or whatever the situation is, and, you know, the board has somebody that they have in mind that they want to put in
right,
that seat.
Right, we're aligning with their viewpoints when this is a nonpartisan position. They're not supposed to be caring about their political leanings and things like that.
It's supposed to be nonpartisan. I never had anybody ask me about my political viewpoints in the entire time I worked for the county up until the last year that I was there. And I was asked, you know, about my voting history, about which party I was registered with, about if I was vaccinated.
Whoa.
All kinds of things.
I'm pretty sure that is not even legal.
Yeah.
I hope you
maybe somebody
that
can call in and speak to that.
Yeah.
I think that's the same reason why they've gone through, what is it, 5 county councils or 6 county councils. They don't want people to push back when there are facts to present that differ with their viewpoint or differing opinions, which is really, really a disservice to the county, because healthy disagreement and being able to bring forward ideas and alternate viewpoints is actually how we would arrive at the best policy for
right.
our community.
Which is why government takes so long.
Yeah.
Because you do have opposing views.
Yeah.
And I've heard that so much lately is, oh, bureaucracy and government takes forever, blah, blah, blah. In private enterprise, this would never happen. But this is not private enterprise. This is government run by the people that has a lot of checks and balances, and it should have. And we should be finding a balance between everyone's viewpoints and what's necessary and important to everybody. So very frustrating to hear all of that.
So how would you say that the extremism among the board members affects the morale and the effectiveness of hired leadership and staff, you know, on all levels of county employees?
Yeah, that's a great question. It is really hard to motivate people to give their best in that kind of environment. Our community expects exceptional results from our county government, and they should, but we're not going to get the best out of our county government by this behavior that's being modeled by the board, where they will call county staff corrupt or allow threatening comments to be made to them or even just disregard the expertise that they have in 20 years of experience in their field. The board is modeling this kind of behavior, and it's spilling out into the public comment and the board chambers. It's very, very discouraging to staff. And in terms of being effective, I think the county provides essential services to people that anybody should feel safe and respected in accessing. It's nonpartisan, like you said, Jessica, and when you go to cast your vote or when you go to get a copy of your birth certificate or however you're interacting with county government, you should feel safe and respected to be able to do so. And that's not the environment we're going to have when all of the staff with differing viewpoints or any kind of diversity of thought have been pushed out.
Right. That brings me to actually another good topic. I've received 2 anonymous messages from county staff that doesn't want to share their name because they're afraid of repercussions that may come to them.
Sure.
But they have a couple questions for you, and I think they're both similar. So I'll read you the first one. It says, I'd like to keep this anonymous from the public. What encouragement, direction, hope, or solutions can you offer those of us working in HHSA? The primary leadership and leaders in the last 2 branches seem to be source of a soul-sucking culture that is killing off great employees. These leaders have used their maximizing personality to woo the board members into thinking they're amazing. As a board-appointed department head, there is little documentation and complaints to the CEO and the head of personnel can do. Can Mary speak to this? Thank you.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, what I would say in response to that question is think about what's happening at the top of the county organization. I was at a leadership retreat a while back, and a question was asked, what is the number one thing you need to be able to be successful in your job? And the number one answer from people was trust with my boss.
Yeah.
So there's no trust between the bosses and the department heads. And the effects of that are going to trickle down throughout the whole organization, and they're going to erode trust throughout the whole organization. I'm not going to speak to any particular person at the county or any particular department, but what I can say is what I experienced and what any person in leadership is probably experiencing at the county is that every day when you report to the board, you have to walk a line of doing what they say because they're in charge and deciding when you're not because it compromises either the law or your personal values, et cetera, et cetera. To me, I wasn't able to walk that line at a certain point. I felt that I was compromising too much, and so I left. So the people that are still there are having to walk that line, and I'm sure the staff are feeling the effects of that and may want their boss to stand up more or, you know, take more of a stand. They probably won't be there much longer if they do. So it's a really hard decision each person has to make for themselves, and that person asked for encouragement, and I just gave you absolutely none. I'm sorry, but that's the reality of the situation. At least it was for me.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Yep.
The next person asked a similar question. It's, as a current employee, it appears HHSA leaders move their friends into roles they aren't qualified for instead of qualified applicants. Leaders are pushing out employees who ask questions and insist on following rules and laws. What can be done about this?
Yeah, well, again, I can't speak to a particular department, but I will say, in general, I'm aware that that's happening across the county because there's, in my opinion, a very narrow and specific agenda that's the leadership has a goal of implementing, and if you're not on board with it, you're not welcome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, again, not much hope for the county employees.
I'm so sorry.
That's okay. I mean, it's the reality, and honestly, it's important. It's important for people to know because what can be done about this is people can vote.
Yep.
People can get up and speak. They cannot give up standing up for
Absolutely.
What they want. They can hopefully find the courage to get up and speak even if their job is on the line.
Absolutely.
And know that people will stand behind them.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of good that county employees who are still there can do. And if they are listening to this, I hope they know that they are appreciated because if every qualified and exceptional employee leaves, we'd be in a really sorry state. So thank you to those of you who are doing the work every day.
And also seeking out their union rep support.
True.
If they have it.
Yep. Whenever a line is crossed, absolutely, that's a good option.
Yeah, and I do want to say for those citizens that are thinking, that aren't, like, employed by the county, who are thinking about going up and speaking out at the supervisors' meetings, please go. Please say your piece and don't let these people intimidate you into not showing up because they're disenfranchising a whole subsection of the county who just watches what's going on and like, I don't want to deal with that. But you know what? Go deal with it because there will be people there that are on your side also.
They are. And it is intimidating. I've gone up to speak many times at the Board of Supervisors. Specifically, Supervisor Cry is very demeaning to people when they get up there to speak. It has intimidated me. When I've tried to speak to him about anything in particular he's done, he cuts me off and changes the subject, and it is intimidating. And it's part of the reason why I decided to start this show, because I wanted to have a voice, and if my voice can't be heard for my full 3 minutes in the supervisor meeting, then we'll be on the radio. So continue doing things like that. Come ask us if you want to speak. We'd be happy to have you on our show, too, and speak for you.
And a sitting supervisor should never tell a constituent to go run an election and become chair, and then he can make the rules.
Yeah.
That is absolutely uncalled for.
Absolutely uncalled for, and if any other supervisor had done that, we would never be hearing the end of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we are going to go to break already again. When we come back, we're going to talk about instances where extreme ideologies have directly hindered progress or decision-making within the government. We'll be right back.
Watch out.
All knights, princesses, and fantasy lovers, step into a world of wonder. The Shasta Renaissance and Fantasy Fair, Saturday and Sunday, Memorial Day weekend at the Shasta District Fairgrounds, is 2 days of excitement, adventure, music, arts, and a market of treasures. Indulge on a giant turkey leg while marveling at the medieval attire and entertainment, and be immersed in the sights and sounds of a bygone era. May 25th and 26th, go to Golden Goblin Productions for ticket and fair info.
Just when you thought B&T Satellite only does satellite dishes, it's a fact B&T Satellite makes TV easy. And now Doug's making Starlink Internet easy too. Starlink Internet is often the only way to get connected, especially if you game, stream, or work from home. Most often, there's several devices connected to your internet at one time, and that requires a great internet connection. B&T Satellite is your choice for Starlink Internet, and now Starlink installation and setup. Call B&T Satellite for your internet installation today, 241-3474. You'll always get the best Dish TV and DirecTV packages from B&T Satellite. But did you know Doug can set up your smart home devices, including cameras? Just call Doug at B&T Satellite, 241-3474. Don't call the 800 number. Call B&T Satellite today, 241-3474, for your home custom theater installation, for TV wall mounts, smart home devices, and everything satellite and internet. Doug makes satellite easy. Doug makes internet easy. Doug makes TV easy. Call B&T Satellite, 241-3474.
Dr. Eric and Tiffany Blasengame present Amazing Pollinators, on display now through May 27th at the Turtle Bay Museum. Immerse yourself in this visually stunning, game-based role-play adventure that explores the colorful and diverse world of pollinator and plant relationships. Amazing Pollinators at Turtle Bay Museum was created by Minotaur Mazes, a company specializing in interactive maze exhibits. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
All right, we are back. We're back to our next question, which was, have you observed any instances where extremist ideologies have directly hindered progress or decision-making within our government?
Yeah, one really clear example I can give is there's a lot of grants that would really be beneficial in practical ways to our community that the county is not applying for because of particular language that the Board of Supervisors may be concerned about. And I'm talking language like if you accept a state grant, you have to follow state law. Very basic things like that that this board considers to be government overreach or different things like that.
Right.
One grant that they've been mulling over for, I think, over a year now was a grant for our elections department that was through an organization that had received funding from Mark Zuckerberg.
Right.
And so the board was really concerned about accepting any kind of money that was tied to Mark Zuckerberg, and then they probably got on their Facebook pages afterwards and talked about that. But I'll give credit where credit is due. They have asked staff to go back and get some different language in the contract, and I hopefully are going to be able to accept that $1.5 million that should have been accepted a year ago.
Right.
But things like that. Also, I'm aware that many county partners no longer want to contract with the county or do business with the county to provide critical services to our community because they don't want to be a part of this environment, or because they provide services that support the LGBTQ community, and there's a lot of hostility coming down from our county leadership about that right now,
right.
Different things like that. And I will also say that here's another example, terminating our county health officer. I know that's a hot topic for a lot of people, but by making that a political grandstanding opportunity, we've actually really hurt a lot of programs. The board really reduced the public health department in the public's mind to mask mandates and COVID vaccine and things like that. By going over a year without a health officer, which we did because who would want the job after they fired the last one, the kind of programs that really suffered are not being talked about enough. There's WIC, you know, that's a public health program, or prenatal screenings for women in marginalized populations that would otherwise have pretty poor pregnancy outcomes. These are the kind of programs that we really need in our community that are being hindered by these political actions by our local Board of Supervisors.
How is WIC being hindered specifically? Do you know?
Well, I'm trying to point out that without the health officer in leadership there for a year.
Yeah.
Those are the kind of programs that didn't have, you know,
leadership.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, what can we do, in your opinion? What steps can we take to address the extremism within the county government and promote more inclusive and constructive governance?
That's a great question, and I really liked that you brought up earlier, Ashley, that people need to come to the board meetings and they need to express you know, need to provide feedback to the board. That's how public officials should make their decisions, is based on feedback and concerns and priorities raised by the community. We did go through a time when I was at the county where we only had kind of one perspective being voiced during the public comment period. And I'm not saying which perspective is right and which perspective is wrong, simply that every perspective in the community deserves to be voiced to the elected officials. So I would say we need to make sure the full spectrum of the community is represented, in whether it's through public comment or calling or emailing or however you feel comfortable making your opinions known to your officials. Your voice deserves to be heard, and input from the public is really effective in contributing to the direction our local government takes.
Speaking of voices, we have a call.
Great.
Go ahead. Benjamin, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, thanks for calling in.
Hey, so I just wanted to thank Mary for her bravery in you know, being able to tell her story. I mean, for anybody who's hearing my voice, probably know I speak at the board meetings all the time. I'm actually at the board meeting right now. they're in closed session, but I just wanted to again thank Mary for her bravery in coming out to tell us basically what happened during all of those months doing that position. It was pretty daunting from a third person perspective, and I can't imagine the pressure dealing with that from the inside.
Thank you, and thanks for all your involvement at the board meetings. It's important.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling, Benjamin.
Mm-hmm. So the other side of that I would say is the public needs to be really engaged, but the other side of that is that local government needs to really provide safe and productive ways for the community to engage. And right now there's a lot of bad behavior in the board chambers. There's a lot of, frankly, intimidation, and it's not really a place that feels safe for everybody to come to provide their public comments. So,
what about staff? How does staff feel in that environment?
Great question. I can say that I many times did not feel safe. I don't want to. I'm hesitant to speak for anyone else,
right,
especially people who are still working there, because I don't want to get any blowback on them. But yeah, there when statements are made like, "You're a dead woman walking," or you know, talking about bullets and guns and how they're cheaper, or ropes are cheaper. You know, that comment that was made.
Right.
Different things like that. A lot of people tried to brush those off as, "Oh, those are just people," you know, people talking, people expressing their First Amendment rights. Those are things that make people feel unsafe to come to work.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of how to ask this correctly. We saw how those kind of comments were responded to by the leaders in the room. If you were a supervisor, how would you have handled those kind of comments, balancing freedom of speech and safety for your employees?
Totally. Freedom of speech is incredibly important, but it doesn't mean you can't stand up for your staff. So when you hear somebody say something about one of your staff members that's an attack or an insult or it crosses a line of becoming a violent threat, set some boundaries, set some ground rules, and at the very least, you know, if you're not willing to take that step of shutting that person down because of their First Amendment rights, you can absolutely just make it clear that you don't endorse that. That's
right.
Something that I think every county employee would love to hear voice from the dais. Anytime a violent or an insulting comment is made, step up as a leader and say, "I don't endorse that comment. I don't appreciate you using that kind of language in the boardroom. I support XYZ county employee."
Yeah, that would have been amazing.
Mean a lot.
And it would be amazing still. I mean, at any point, the supervisors that are behaving this way or, you know, not defending their staff and the people sitting next to them, because there is all kinds of attacks, at any point they can change how they respond to that.
Yep.
So I hope they do choose to do that. Did you have any more examples for us for that question?
No, I would just say that, yeah, I was saying that the local government needs to provide those opportunities for the public to be to provide their feedback. And then we also need a commitment from our local government officials that they're going to receive that feedback, even if it's feedback that they don't agree with, and that they're going to commit to translating the community feedback into their decision-making. And I don't think we're really seeing that right now either. The attitude that I see coming from the board is, the board majority, I will say, is, we know what's better for the community than they know, and we're going to impose that upon them rather than accepting all of the feedback that's being provided to them and allowing that to influence how they're making their decisions for the community.
Absolutely, because what should happen is when you have an entire community stepping up to the comments to tell you that they think a decision you're making is wrong, that's when you should be just changing your mind and remembering that you're there to represent the community and knowing that their voice is what's really important regardless of your personal beliefs.
Totally.
So that would have made that would make a good leader, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think we've gotten to a pretty unhealthy place where we can't consider ideas that are different than our own in that environment. People kind of have equated different viewpoints to being bad or evil or wrong just because they're different. And until we get back to a place where we can have healthy conflict and disagree with each other respectfully, we're really going to keep seeing more of what we have right now.
And that's kind of what we mean here when we're talking about extremism. We're talking about calling each other names, calling people evil with, like, the 666 thing at the Board of Supervisors.
Yes.
We've had that 666 comment made about several things as if people are evil because of their differences of opinion. Like you said, violent threats. All of that. That's extremism, no matter what your beliefs are. When you start acting like that, the people that oppose your thoughts that have different thoughts than you, or they're going to shut down. You're not going to be able to have a conversation. You're not going to feel safe in that conversation.
Yeah.
Like you were saying earlier, what was it that you were saying at the leadership thing you went to, and they were saying that safety or trust.
Trust
was first. Mm-hmm. Trust is paramount for every conversation, every relationship, whether you just met the person or not. And if you feel like you can't trust what they're going to respond, then of course you're going to shut down. You're not going to be able to have engaging conversation. So hopefully we can stop with the extremism and start having conversations that are more calm and mature.
Absolutely.
And stop making threats. Like, I know your dog's name. That was one of them.
There's so many examples that should really be alarming to people that these kinds of things are being tossed around.
Yeah. They are alarming. I mean, I told you before, I used to take my child to some of these board meetings because I homeschool one of my kids, and it's important to me that he learns about government. And before all this started becoming chaotic, we would attend board meetings, and now I can't bring him because I'm literally afraid for his safety.
Yeah.
Emotional and physical, you know.
Totally.
Some of these things you definitely don't want your child hearing.
Yeah. I mean, this is a little bit personal and vulnerable, but I will say I had an experience when I was working at the county. I was just waiting for the first time my name got tossed out there in public comment with something rude or insulting or violent, because it happened to everybody that came into the public's eye, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And when it did, my first thought was my baby who was in daycare.
Oh.
And I remember just sitting there in the board meeting waiting for the time to pass till I could leave and get out of there and go get him. And the devastation that I felt when one of the Board of Supervisors got on the news shortly thereafter and said he was so happy with the environment in the board chambers, it was better than he'd ever seen it. And I just thought to myself, how awful.
Yeah.
How awful. Not only is this happening from people coming up to the microphone in public comment, but it's endorsed by the leadership there.
Right. And it's the endorsement by the leadership sends it out into the public, too, because it's not only happening in those board chambers, it's happening all over the place in other public meetings that we go to. On Facebook, I've had all kinds of awful things. I've been called Jabba the Hutt. My child was called fat. He's 12 years old. I mean, you know, building thick skin, it's definitely doing that, but it's also building a wall.
It's building a wall.
A big wall.
Mm-hmm.
And such a big wall that there are a handful of people in this county that I don't want to communicate at all with, because there's no point in my mind.
Well, once you start seeing someone else with a different opinion as, you know, being evil or being wrong, no matter what, that's a huge wall that we have to break down, and we have to be able to have those conversations with each other.
Well, I think an unintended consequence of them being so negative and off-putting is that they're turning their own people against them. More often at each meeting, you see more and more people coming up to speak that identify as conservative, mm-hmm. and that they have been compelled to come to speak against the type of conservatism that is being perpetuated from the board, and there doesn't seem to be any slowing down of that at all.
No slowing down yet. Let's hope that we will see some of that soon. But we do need to take another break again, and we will be right back with some more questions for Mary. And be sure to call in and ask Mary questions if you have them for her, or just tell her thank you for her bravery and her time here with us. We'll be right back.
Do you or someone you love struggle with PTSD, anxiety, depression, insomnia, OCD, alcoholism, substance abuse disorder, autism, ADHD, brain fog, or traumatic brain injury? At Shasta Meadows Wellness Center, Dr. Tiger and his team offer safe, proven, and effective care, even for those resistant to typical medicine. Learn more about Shasta Meadows Wellness Center. They have IV ketamine or at-home oral ketamine. Ask about the state-of-the-art EEG guided TMS therapy. This customized, safe, no side effect option is effective on a wide range of difficult to treat conditions. Visit us today at ShastaMeadowsWellness.com. Don't just get by, get well.
Call to make an appointment for a free consultation. 530-444-8304. 530-444-8304. Shasta Meadows Wellness Center in Reading.
Are you craving a delicious pizza at a great price? Look no further than Charlu's Tap House. Charlu's Tap House is bringing back their incredible pizza deal. Every Tuesday from 4 p.m. until close, you can enjoy half off on your second pizza. That's right, buy one of any size and get the second one half off. This offer is only available for dine-in. So gather your friends and family and head over to Charlu's Tap House. The famous meal deal is back by popular demand. For just $29.95, you can choose between a medium two-topping pizza or a large plate of spaghetti with two mouth-watering meatballs. You have the option to indulge in a large house or Caesar salad. It's a complete feast at an unbeatable price. Charlu's Tap House is the place to be every day of the week from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Enjoy a refreshing drink from our beer wall and get a fantastic 25% off during happy hour. Don't miss out on these incredible offers. Visit Charlu's Tap House today and savor the flavors you love at the prices that can't be beaten.
All right, welcome back. Once again, we are available for calls. If anybody wants to call and chat with Mary, we have this last segment. We'll be done promptly at 7 o'clock. Phone number is 530-605-4566. And when the show is over, it will be available live, or not live, it will be available recorded on the KCNR website, and the podcast will be available on Apple Podcasts and Spotify as well. You can also find us on Facebook at Shasta Unmasked. So we already touched a little bit on this last question. Well, we have a couple more, but one of them was what steps could be taken to address extremism. What do you think the average citizen could do that would be most beneficial?
I think there's a lot of different ways that people can be a part of this in a way that feels manageable for them. If getting up in the public comment period at a city council or board of supervisors meeting terrifies you, there are other options too. That's a great option, but there are a lot of options. The first thing I would say is be informed, however you have the capacity to be informed. So if you have the capacity to attend every public meeting, that is great. That would be the ideal. Not everybody has the capacity. I don't have the capacity to do that. Some practical ways that I stay informed, there's a lot of great local news sources you can follow. One of my favorites is Shasta Scout. that's not a sponsored comment. I'm just a working mom of two kids that can't go to every meeting, and she does great recaps of meetings live, which is often really helpful. Have conversations with people who do attend the meetings or who
watch online, too.
Watch online.
You can watch the playback.
Yep. I have a few people that I really trust their advice and opinion on things. I'm not saying don't do your own research, but there's a lot of people that are really informed in our community and can share some of that with you. Obviously, vote. Please vote. Even our best turnout rates are pretty poor, honestly, when you think of the hundreds or thousands of people that could have voted that didn't. Run for office if you want to. If not, I don't blame you, but help those who are brave enough to run for office.
Yeah.
Since leaving the county, I was able to do some volunteer work on some campaigns for the first time, and that was a really awesome experience to see. There's also, if you don't want to run for like an elected office, there's volunteer positions with both the city and the county on different committees and commissions, and those are a really great way where you can just submit an application and the board will make an appointment, and a great way to get involved. I've heard the local mosquito district may need some help, so that may be one that you want to start with. So those are my suggestions. Those are my ideas on how people can get involved.
And
provide feedback to your elected official. I will say, honestly, that most of them will read your emails, will take your calls. Some of them you may have to go find them, but they will hear you, and it does make a difference. And I think there's a lot of pressure from the public is effective. I've seen it. And so when people band together and provide their feedback to the elected officials, it does matter.
Yes. You can also follow Thought You Should Know, and it's a group on Facebook that is very up to date about things that are happening in our local government and just in general in Shasta County. You can also follow Shasta and Mast. We are trying to, also keep up with things. And A News Cafe is another great media source as well for in-depth coverage for ongoing issues in Shasta County. And I go there also if I want to remember what happened with something, because I feel like their reporting is so in-depth and it has great timelines. Also, are you still there, Ashley?
I am.
Oh, hey. do you have any ideas of other things that people could do to... Oh, I know. I was going to say Matt Plummer. He is an up-and-coming supervisor that is already working hard to get to know the community, the public. He has great ideas for things that we could be working on, actual things that are important to our community, grants he wants to apply for, all these ideas. And he has created a new work group, and I'm not going to try and remember what it is, but if you go to Matt Plummer, his page on Facebook, you can find how to sign up for that work group. So if you want to volunteer your time doing something where you get to throw your ideas out and they're heard, I think that would be a really good opportunity, too.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah, the only thing that I have to add is just to stay involved. Even if it's hard and a grind and uncomfortable, you're doing the most just by staying involved and engaged and pushing back, because you can't allow the misinformation and disinformation to just run rampant without any checks or balances, because that's how people become disengaged. They're just like, oh, you know what? This is just too much for me. It's too, that whole apathy, which is very, very hard to overcome right now because all of politics is so insane.
It is. And, I think it does come from the national politics. Mm-hmm. But one thing, I used to follow national politics much more closely until some years ago, then I realized that I really could do nothing about it. So I decided to focus on my local politics and volunteering. And actually, volunteering is how I got started paying attention. I started cleaning up homeless encampments with various organizations with my students, and we would go out and like 9,000 pounds of trash and help move it out of the community. And then guess what? I was all of a sudden concerned about homelessness. What got this trash there? How do people get here? How are they living here? And I started paying attention to those topics in the media. And when you see a change and you see that you're able to affect change, it makes you motivated to do more.
Mm-hmm.
And that apathy goes away, because all of a sudden you realize that actually you're the one, if not you, who kind of thing, you know?
Totally.
And people are drawn to help because they're inspired, usually, by somebody. So that's also just, you know, a reason for us to personally contribute. The people around us are going to see you giving your time and being engaged and thinking about it and talking about these ideas and topics, and they're going to want to get more engaged too. So I think that's another reason.
Yeah, that's a great point. I'm totally biased, but local government is way better to get engaged, or way easier to get engaged and get your foot in the door, than federal or state government. And if you look at data about constituents' approval or satisfaction of their government, local government satisfaction is usually way higher than state and federal, and it's because we aren't supposed to have those partisan agendas. We aren't supposed to have those politics dividing us. We're supposed to be coming together as a community and just fixing the problems in front of us.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's a great way for people to jump in and really take part in it and ask their local officials to take part in it too.
Absolutely. I remember, how much time do we have? Four minutes. Three? Oh, okay. So I remember the last time I feel like our community was really together was the car fire.
Mm-hmm.
I unfortunately was one of the people that lost our house in the car fire and everything we owned. But the amazing amount of outpouring from the community, no matter who you were, what job you held, what politics you believed in, everyone just came together. And I met so many great people that helped support us during that time that had far different beliefs than I did. And during emergencies, none of that matters. I wish we could get back to that.
Yeah.
Because this is an emergency at this point. The volatileness, all of that, it's an emergency. I remember earlier you said you left the county.
Yeah.
What did you mean by that exactly? Are you willing to share with us what happened?
Sure. Like I said, I negotiated my contract as acting CEO to allow me to go back to my previously held position. That was my intention, you know, when a new CEO was brought on board. As the months went on, I won't go into too many specifics, but I will just say I wasn't proud of what I was a part of there at the organization any longer, and it doesn't feel good to leave work every day and wonder if what you contributed to was helping or hurting the community.
Mm-hmm.
So I fulfilled my contract. When they brought a new CEO on, I gave him some time to get onboarded, and then I submitted my resignation.
Wow. That says a lot there when you're not sure whether what you're doing is in the best interest of your community anymore.
Yeah.
I'm really sorry you had that experience, and I wish they would have done everything they could to hold on to you, because you're an amazing human, and I hope that you're happy where you've gone.
Thank you. Thanks.
Yeah. All right. Well, we have just about a minute left. Let's see. What else can we address without going into too much detail here?
Well, Eileen, like you said, there's a bunch of meetings tonight. It looks like the Board of Supervisors meeting online video is having a little bit of network issue because we keep getting the spinning circle of death.
Oh, no, that's not good.
Nope.
But, yeah, there are. So you can listen to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. You can listen on the KCNR website after the show if you missed it. And you can also watch the county meeting online. It's happening now. The Anderson Union High School District meeting is happening online now. What were you going to say, Ashley?
Oh, I was going to say if anybody out there wants to continue listening to me and watching the Board of Supervisors meeting, you can go ahead and do that at twitch.tv/EchoPlexMedia. We will be watching and reacting to the video live for the rest of the night, or however long it goes on.
Who knows how long that's going to go. 2 a.m. All right, Mary, thank you so much for your bravery, for talking about this. I know it was important to get out here and speak your piece to the community, let them know what you've experienced, and we really thank you for that. So Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Okay.
Thanks for what you're doing.
Goodbye, everybody. Have a good night.
Bye.
KCNR, Shasta Redding.